Lord, help me remember that nothing will happen to me today that you and I can't handle together. Amen.
L'chaim.
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 There was a time when we were on the beach, Lord, and there was two sets of footprints. And then later, one set.
When I needed you most.
When I needed you most. What up?
And what up? That's a new version?
The Lord said unto me, Jack fuck. I don't know. So it's something to think about on this.
I hear that's the number one college poster. Actually, number two college poster in dorm rooms.
Really?
Only behind the Jim Belushi. Or I'm sorry, John Belushi with the college sweatshirt on.
Where's
the
hanging,
footsteps one?
Where's the
hanging
cat
there one?
Yeah.
That one's hanging in every secretary's office cubicle.
Yeah.
I know all about posters.
Oh, I can't stand hanging there.
Oh, my God.
I can't stand the whole whatever Monday is associated with.
Case of the
hump
Mondays.
Day with the fucking Wednesday. Thank God it's Friday with the ridiculousness.
No. I was on a...
Wish it were Friday. Go fuck yourself.
over the winter, I was a cinematographer on this film, and I was talking to the art director about some of the stuff before we were shooting, and the character was supposed to be this like very, very pathetic like office worker guy.
Right.
And I was like, we definitely need a hang in there poster so that I can photograph part of it into the shot at least. Just so you can see that cat there. And by the way, if you like the hang in there poster, please do not ever listen to a show that I'm on this one. Please, thank you.
Welcome, everybody, to Keith and the Girl. Matt B, of course, is with us. McNally is with us as well. We're celebrating Cinco de Mayo, which I learned is just one battle that took place in northern Mexico.
What do you want? They're simple people. They don't need a whole independence sign.
It says a whole thing, right? Zomniac from Detroit says Cinco de Mayo is significant because it was Mexican forces of 4,000 versus Mexican traders and French forces of 8,000, and they were outnumbered 2-1. Yes, I'm a nerd.
Okay.
You know, that's like people from Texas who are like, remember the Alamo. And I'm sure Spooky will bring it up. You know what you remember about the Alamo? They lost. Remember that.
All I remember is that Ozzy pissed on it and went to jail.
Me too! That's the funny part.
That's all I remember. By the way, everybody joining us live in the live room, keithandthegirl.com/live video. Dina was there earlier giving advice. Bruno was there. Put him on the main camera. You can hear him talk. Everybody remembers Bruno. Bruno doesn't understand much, though. He's smoking a little too much, a little too young. If you want to see him smoke, through the through an orange.
No way.
Definitely. Dead serious, I mean.
How do you do that? I don't understand that.
He turned his orange into a bong.
What do you mean, how do you do it? All you need is a couple of holes to smoke some shit through or anything.
But there's, like, orange in the orange?
Who doesn't like weed and who doesn't like orange flavor?
Okay.
Now you got your citrus
orange
pot.
Weed. I'll just tell you right now, if Keith McNally ever started smoking weed, it would definitely be some sort of citrus, girly flavored weed.
Oh, my God. Thank God Keith doesn't like smoking because everything in here would have two holes in it. You know, because he's heard of filters. He decided to filter everything. Vodka's all over the place. The whole place smells like vodka. What else did he learn about? He learned about, whatever it is. We had a cooler outside of our house with, like, a ton of beer for a while. Like, who was saying, I overheard McNally, I think, saying, like, if there was a homeless guy who found it, he'd think he just hit the jackpot. We put stuff right outside of the house, like, no one's going to take it.
Yeah, but people do that in a lot of places, but not...
Where, Matt?
Upstate. Sure.
It's fucking handy, though. I showed up early the other day. You know, I was just sitting around waiting for you guys to come home. There's a fucking cooler of beer just sitting there.
It was just for you.
Good time. Too bad it wasn't Mike's Hard Lemon.
That's my porch. That's my porch to me, and I would like to use my porch how I see fit. By the way, if you guys, you three gentlemen, Relics here as well, manning the main camera... feel free to grab a switch. I'm not deliberately handing one to each other. I have passed out tequila. You can smell it, but I don't think it's going to give away the game. I have passed out two Patrons and one Vince Neil Trace Rijo signed by Vince Neil. I guarantee you do not want that one.
I'll tell you right now, if I get the Trace Rios, I believe that it's you have to, because it's Vince Neil's tequila, you have to go drive your car right after and kill your friend. That's what you have to do. Wow.
This tequila is the worst. It came with a little somebody got it for me, and I do appreciate it. I do appreciate they took the time.
See, this is another
to
thing.
To sign it.
Exactly. This is another thing. Everything having to do with booze, he's like, oh, well, it's Vince Neil. I have to try it. So yeah. It would be like, thank God it's not weed. Thank God. Keith, I made this in the backyard. I live in whatever the fuck, bumblefuck New York. I think that you'd like it. Well, I don't think I like it, but here, I've passed around the joint to everybody. I passed that around and the stuff that I've grown myself, and I guarantee you will like mine better than anything else.
I believe that Keith has admitted on the show multiple times that he's drank some of his own bodily fluids. So, how far are you going to go? Which direction?
It tasted better than Vince Neil tequila. This Vince Neil tequila.
Oh, God, I really hope I win now.
You could look it up. Tres Rios. It's the worst, and it's probably written on the website, but it says in this... This little card that used to come with it that he fell asleep one time in, I don't know if it was Nevada or somewhere else, and he had a dream that all the rivers were made out of tequila. And thus, now you have Vince Neil's tequila. All of a sudden, this guy who chugged the worst alcohol, he's in a rock band. This guy doesn't have a palate for good.
No, he drinks the alcohol that they put to chill in those trough urinals.
Right. You don't have a good taste buds if you're chugging JD for breakfast. You just don't.
You know, but on the other end of the spectrum, if I got Vince Neil's, I'm not going to be able to tell because I really do only drink like girly shit. It all tastes like
oh my god!
To me,
please give him the taste test.
How am I going to know?
Afterwards, give him the Tres Rios anyway to see if it tastes the same to him.
Okay, well let's see what happens. Anyway, okay. Cheers. To Cinco de Mayo.
Arriba.
And now we're all stupid.
Not bad.
If I had to guess, I don't think I got the bad one. That wasn't too bad.
me neither. I got Patron.
Oh. Relic got it. And nobody knows why, but the cameras are all fuzzy now.
You know, I definitely knew that I got Patron the moment it hit my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell. The other shit tastes like rubbing alcohol.
That is kind of shocking. Yeah, like it's not even burning my throat. That's
and
some
McNally's
nice,
not
some
a
nice
big... I've seen you drink shots, and it takes you about an hour to sip it.
Oh,
and you just down that whole thing, which means
it
really is.
That's because I drink shots of like apple teenies. You know, like no one can drink those.
Nobody drinks shots of apple teenies.
And I don't have lime or salt or anything like that to help him. And Relic still has 3/4 of a shot left.
Yeah, looks like the Mexicans aren't going to win this battle tonight.
That's not what we meant to say.
By the way, I love it that Vince Neil has a dream about rivers of tequila in Mexico, yet he doesn't dream about the guy he killed after his drunk driving accident, and he right. also doesn't dream about his daughter, who got killed too.
As if
that didn't poetically happen under right. some sort of God's plan stuff, like, you know, kill your friend? Fine, I'll take your daughter away.
How did his daughter die? I'm sorry.
Some weird situation. I don't know the details. Somebody can Wikipedia. I'm sure it's...
Yeah, it is weird that it wasn't like, I had a dream about rising literacy levels in America. You know?
Well, no, that's not weird.
So I made a book out of tequila! By the way, back, of course, from the bike race, you guys didn't die. Matt and Hemda rode together.
Yeah, sure. We did.
And did you win the race? Or
I mean, we came close.
How'd you guys
place? I gotta tell you right now, we placed very close to the front to the point where we were at, like, it goes through every borough.
Right.
And we were at the last stage, which is to go on the Verrazano Bridge to get over to to Staten Island. And they stopped us, and there was nobody in front of us. Like, there was like 100 people in front of us, but all those 100 people were stopped as well. And there was no one along the route
for some kind of security check or just
I think it was
pause.
Secure. They didn't have the security check ready, and they didn't have the bridge ready, I don't think, because it's like they have to make sure everything's all set up for the race. So we started way in the back in the pack, which was by the Trinity Church, just past the World Trade Center. So way down right. Lower Manhattan. Then you ride way up, and we just rolled through. We barely did any of the rest stops, any of that stuff. We just kept rolling.
Hemda didn't ride in many years. How long would you say? You haven't ridden a bike?
High school, I think.
And since high school, she's 62. Did she hold you up?
No, not at all. Absolutely not at all.
You wouldn't have ridden faster if I wasn't there?
I mean,
he's so fast. He's so fast, like, and I don't want to admit that he's going so fast. So I just try to keep up like an idiot. And then he looks back, and then I realize as soon as he looks back, I'm making the most retarded face ever to try to keep up.
No.
Yes, because that's when you always ask me, are you okay? I'm like, yes.
I mean, I obviously, like, first of all, she hadn't ridden how long, but beyond that, like, if I had not ridden that long, I wouldn't have been able to handle the bike seat for that long, period.
Right.
But beyond that, she kept up great. I knew that because of the running, her aerobic exercise would have been just great for the whole thing. And most of the time when I would be looking back at her, it was just because I didn't want to get separated. Because it would be very, very easy to get separated.
Right.
So, you know, it was mostly that. It wasn't like, oh, I gotta hit the brakes and just stop and wait for her. It wasn't any of that.
She kept up very well,
better than a lot of the people that I've ridden it with.
Yikes. The only time that I went ahead of him a little bit is like when we go up hills, I have to go just rot through it, because if not, I'm just going to remember I'm going up a hill and I'm going to be like, fuck this noise. So I'm like, okay, Matt, I can't talk to you right now. And I'm like, going up the hill like an idiot.
Did you realize how many things in New York City are hills that you didn't think were before? I didn't know the bridge wasn't flat.
Let me tell you.
Well, you don't walk over it that
right.
much.
There are things when I first started running, and even still, sometimes a speed bump, I'm like, a speed bump? You know, that's like right. nothing. Yeah. And I'm like, and not bicycle. When I'm running, I'm like, you forget that you have to think in your head, okay, I'm going over a speed bump. It's like a step. It's like a stair.
Right.
You know? So for the Verrazano Bridge, which is, I don't know how many miles. I should have looked it up. The Verrazano Bridge, please help me out. How long is that? The Verrazano Bridge, he warns me the whole time, this is nothing. Wait till the Verrazano Bridge. And he's doing it as I can't breathe. Like, it's just like, fuck.
Now, is that a nice thing? Like, does that help you? Or
it's good to me, ultimately, like, because I know it's something that
you
is
might as well quit now.
No, I was not going spooky on her. What
not
I was
all,
doing most
all.
Of the time, like,
Matt was trying to win the race by fucking psyching people out one person at a time.
Yeah, if somebody rides by, I'm like, whoa. Don't lose it all right now, buddy.
Right.
There's a long way to go. Long way to go.
So we're about to get to the Verrazano Bridge, and he goes, you see that? That's nothing. We still have to go a couple blocks up, and then it starts down there. Do you see where it starts? And I'm like, oh, God, yes, I see where it starts. And then that's where I really warn him. I'm like, Matt, I see where it starts, and I see what you're talking about now, because the Verrazano Bridge does not go like other bridges that I know, where you go up for a minute, and then you ride the bridge across, like it's nice and even, and then you go down. It goes all the way up until the middle, then it goes all the way down.
There's a crest.
It's insane.
It's a huge suspension bridge. It's the second largest suspension bridge in the United States, only to the Golden Gate Bridge. It's enormous.
So now I'm like, okay, Matt, love you very much. I'm not going to talk to you the entire way up. Don't, and then he goes, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. One, because I have a bell for my bike because I'm awesome.
It is an awesome bell.
Bling, bling.
Exactly. And so every time a trucker would pass by and like honk at us, because we're riding on highways. It's so cool. Riding on highways, and the other end would like honk at us. I'm like, bling, bling, bling. I'm riding a bike. So I'm like, I'm not talking to you. Okay, and he goes, one ring means yes, and two rings means no. And then he goes, if you're in trouble, just ring the bell like crazy. So I'm like, okay. And then I'm riding it up, and I'm like, he goes, are you okay? And I'm like, mm-hmm. And it's like, I just don't want to talk to anybody, because that just takes more breath out of me. And then at the end, we're crossing over, we start going down, and I get so excited. I'm like, bling, 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 woohoo. And then he looks back, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I'm okay. Because the whole thing was, if you ring your bell like a madman, you're probably crashed and things are wrong.
Yeah.
So he's on his way down, riding fast, and we're riding fast because it's a downhill, and he has to turn around and see this idiot who's like, I'm so excited, bling, bling, bling.
I mean, I knew that she would be a little bit excited, but because we were talking about it. I was trying to keep her motivated the whole time, and I kept asking her, like, am I talking to you too much about, like, what it means to ride the whole thing? And she's like, no, it's fine. And she just wanted to make sure I wasn't babysitting her, which I wasn't. It was mostly about me. The only thing I get out of this ride, this is like the fourth time I've done it. Well, it's fun to ride it, but what I get out of it most is enjoying it with whoever I'm going to ride it with the next year or what have you.
Man, so I just love that phrase you just said of, like, you know, I don't want to talk too much about what it means to ride. I'm just imagining Matt, like, the stately, elderly gentleman who's just like, here's what it really means to ride. Yeah, I've been around a few times. Let me tell you something.
Matt.
I'm reading the Zen of the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, only we're talking about bicycles. I'm like,
Matt,
you really should
everything.
Get everything together.
He goes, you see that bike? That bike's from China. That bike's
yeah,
from
but
Mexico.
You understand that, like, most of that was bullshit. I didn't know any of it. No, I mean.
Now, don't get me wrong. You enjoy the euphoria. But know what it is to struggle. Matt is a very strong guy. Like, if you're looking at him on the camera, and you think, like, he's a healthy-looking guy. This guy likes
or
to
enjoy a mountain of a man? Is
yeah,
that
exactly. Or all the people in the chat think that I'm Mr. Fatty.
He's a mountain of a man fat fuck. But this guy has such great stamina.
Stamina and strength.
He's so strong. He carries these huge cameras when he used to record my stand-up show. And other things that we used to do with Matt's cameras from where he works. And he's just carrying these like they're fucking nothing. And I don't know if you're keeping that to yourself, but you can't keep your heartbeat and breathing to yourself. And this guy's just walking normal like it's nothing. And I carry it like two blocks. And I think I'm, you know, for a guy that doesn't exercise like he should, fit enough. And I'm fucking dying. Matt is so much stronger, and his cardio is so much better.
Thanks. Now I'm going to get challenged to strength competition.
You should.
When we were at the Derby, I was carrying a cooler full of beer and stuff. I made it like 15 feet, and I'm just like, please take this, Matt. And he's like, all right, fine.
That's 1.5, and he's not exaggerating.
There's a camera. If you get the DVD, the Canadian DVD that Matt made for us, he carried a camera for the dodgeball tournament, and then when he went into the game, I would carry it for him. And I just prayed that those games just go so fast, because one game, and I'm like, fucking take this camera from me, and he's carrying it around like it's nothing. He will kick the shit. Keep fucking with him on the chat.
No, come on.
Keep fucking with him.
Seriously, though, like, I do enjoy just fucking with people on the chat. Like, everybody,
you're a button pusher.
I'm a button pusher. Who wants to hang out this weekend? No, I do love that. But, it's just a matter of, like, you know, keeping as fit. Like, I don't, obviously, if you look at me, I'm not the most fit person on the planet, but stamina is important. Especially for the ladies. But
which hey, I'm Matt B. And
I'll tell you a little half story about a lady that I met. No, but Keith, seriously, once you get rolling on the bike, you're gonna notice a little because it's fun to do that. It, like, running is the punishment for all the sports I played. When I played varsity soccer in high school, you know, when you do whatever, and when you know, like, when you're playing any sports, running was the punishment. That's why I can't get into it. But cycling, man, it's so fun. It's fun.
Have you ever seen the sun rise on your way across the bridge? No, you haven't. But
true.
You will.
It's true. It's very. It's all of my bicycling like anecdotes are very like Ernest Hemingway mixed with Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
I think there's some incredible Nike commercials, but do you get into those extra? You know,
no.
I am.
Although I do like the one with the Saul Williams song on it.
I don't know.
It's that new one where they're like, what the hell is it?
My better is
better than your better. Yeah. And they chose a Saul Williams song. I'm like, this is a fucking awesome commercial.
I
agree, though. My better is better than your better.
I understand that Keith, he's going to get a bike, by the way, nycbikes.com. They're the ones providing us with the bikes. Cool. So when you get a bike, you will be excited.
Explain this for one second. NYC Bikes makes custom bikes for you.
Yeah. And they also, you can get...
Nobody knows that. Like, yeah. I don't think people... I didn't know that. I didn't know you get custom bikes.
It's not just because it's a Hemda celebrity Hemda that her bike, or that your, or Keith, when your bike is finished, like... It's not just that's what it is.
Please don't tell me that.
I know. I don't want to make you feel that special. I put love into yours.
Thank you. I felt it in my bill.
I put love into the ones where they give me a little tip. No. But I got to say that, it is pretty unique. One of the reasons that I ended up working at that shop a while ago, like, and I still sometimes go in there and fill in if they need some help or what have you, but one of the reasons that, like, that's a very unique situation that you could get a custom-made bicycle in a matter of a couple weeks. Like, right. Fit to you, you know, not super expensive. Like, it's a very reasonable price for the, like, for anything that would go along with any market price. And that's impressive. You know, you get to pick the color. You get to pick, you know, size and shape for a lot of that stuff. It's different, you know.
That's why Keith is getting a pink one.
Well, I didn't.
I kept saying, right. I'm doing yours is going
to
be pink.
I didn't mean to turn this into a commercial, but yeah. Also, like, if you do exercises and you do them wrong, you fuck up. If you ride a bike that's not right, that can't be good for you.
The whole tour, Hemda and I, as we're going by stuff, I'm like, see that? That bike is way too small for that guy. His knees are going to kill him by the end of this thing.
Yeah, my knees are fine, by the way, and I have bad knees also. I don't feel anything bad today. I felt yesterday, my ass was on fire. My ass was on fire. I think I told a couple of bikers that I don't know. I'm like, is your ass hurting? Fucking Christ. My ass was on fire. I stopped sitting.
But you had the ass pants.
And I made sure
that you had to have the ass pants because that is super important when you're riding for that long. I mean, I wear the ass pants when you ride that long, you know? And yes, my ass hurt a little bit. And yes, the lower ball region hurt a little bit. But at the same time, like, you know, normally people don't ride that long. And we went through it pretty fast. But normally people don't ride that long.
Yeah, and I understand that. Can I tell you, I don't do anything for 40 miles. 40 miles? I've never done 40 miles.
Sitting in a car for 40 miles will make your ass, you know.
Exactly. I'm uncomfortable sitting in a car for 40 miles. So I understand my ass is going to hurt.
I don't think I'd even eat pussy for 40 miles. I don't think I would.
I mean, come on, rethink that.
I don't know.
I don't believe that at all, baby.
But if we could go back a second to the ball hurting, at what point? Because that's the point I'm turning around.
No, you're not turning around. You're getting off. Because if you turn around, you got to go back however far you went.
Turning around to the nearest hotel. I'm not. What kind of sport do you finish? You don't finish bowling and going, my lower ball sacks.
I mean, you just used the example sport was bowling. You're legally allowed to drink in professional bowling.
Fuck, I seen you guys.
Now you're like, I know my sports.
Please.
Bowling.
Please. I saw, you know, people bicycling, obviously, and I saw you with your beer packs on. Right? You got that straw right to your mouth. Get out of here with that.
That was awesome. But wait, I decided that my butt was not the thing that hurts because my butt has enough padding and then I put ass pants on. It's not the butt that hurts because I felt around down there. It's the butt bone.
Yeah.
It's the butt bone that hurts.
What's the butt bone?
It's like your lower hips, like where your actual bones are for your hips.
Oh, okay.
Because they're against that bike seat. And I was telling Hemda as we came in here earlier tonight, she hadn't ridden in that long. I wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes but I wouldn't have lasted 5 miles at all on a bike seat. If you haven't ridden on a bike seat, your body is not used to it. Like, she went the whole way and fast. You know, that's pretty serious, you know? I mean, I did keep checking her. I was like, all right. As she would ride by, I would be like, all right, look good. The bike looks the right size for you, so stuff is not going to start hurting real bad.
Nothing hurt today. You know, and let me tell you something. The stops, those are for suckers.
Although, the one that we did go to, the bananas are delicious. Oh. There's something like...
There's something about
magic. All of a sudden, you're doing something for a long time. Bananas taste delicious. Bananas are good.
I'll tell you when bananas taste good. There's something about when you don't eat all goddamn day, and 4 hours later, you're like, I'll have a banana. This is the best banana in the whole fucking world.
She's riding along, eating the banana while we're riding. She's ridden how many years?
I was talking on the phone to her, and then I go, I guess this is a rest stop, and she goes, I have to go. I think I'm supposed to use two hands here. What? What the fuck?
Yeah, it was pretty serious. I mean, that's less likely that she would be doing that if we didn't have all the traffic blocked off.
Right.
But I mean, really considering some of the way that the route was, it was pretty easy riding. Like, there were some parts of Brooklyn where it's just smooth sailing. And you're just
really
enjoying
nice.
Yourself, you know? It's just, I mean, right before the Verrazano Bridge, you get this view of the whole harbor. You could see all the boats. It's one of the reasons that I think that ride is so fun.
This turns me off, though, about going on this
thing. The ball sack?
No, listen, there will be times when it's fun. Mm-hmm. You're going to like it.
No, I think it's fun the whole way through. There's an adrenaline rush the whole way through because there's nothing like looking up and down. And I have photos that I can show you guys too that I took. But there are photos, of course, of this thing everywhere, especially on their official website. But
you know what else? You know what else is adrenaline rush? The UFC. But I'm not bred to do it.
It's not
moment right before the fist hits you in the face. You'll never forget.
It's not even close to the same adrenaline rush to watch somebody do that, though. It's not even close, and it's not like an uber adrenaline rush. Like it's just nice to be riding all the way down Sixth Avenue, all bikes all the way in front of you, all bikes all the way behind you, and you can't see
it. It is amazing. I did a couple of stupid things, and one of them included like we're about to get on a highway. And I do that thing just like as if I'm in a car. I look to my left going like, is a car coming? Yes, a car is coming, but they're letting us on the highway.
But it's good to be in that habit. That?
What? That's stupid. And then because my last bike was like, what are those little ones called?
BMX.
I don't know if it was exactly. Isn't that a
No, it's a 20-inch BMX bike. Yeah. It's not specifically.
My last bike was like a boy bike that probably my brother finished using. You know, it was a little tiny whatever. So when I first started riding, I tried to go backwards to stop. That didn't work.
That's
almost
funny.
Crashed into something. Another funny thing is
I'm
watching.
I'm glad you didn't. Yeah. No falls, by the way. Zero falls. Spooky, you owe me however many dollars.
I had some false starts, though.
I heard riding a bike a lot is like a high. Is that true?
I heard that if you've ridden a bike before, if you come back to it, it's like riding a bike.
I, I like any sport that takes special ass pants.
I was going to say the thing about pedaling backwards. The first time I ever used a bike with handbrakes when I was like 12 years old, it was the first time I'd ever used a bike where you didn't pedal backwards to brake, and I creamed into somebody. I fucking ran into... I was like 12, and I don't know, the kid I hit was probably 7 or 8. I ran right into him. I was like pedaling backwards. Didn't do
yeah,
shit.
You don't think, because you only have like a couple seconds. That couple seconds goes, hey, I'm going backwards. Hey, why am I stopping? Hey, why am I in the middle of this 7-year-old?
Yeah. Is it
and
bad?
Still finished in like record time. Is it like she did this and still finished so fast. Yeah,
that's what I heard.
I thought it was really interesting. There's some people who you can tell ride bikes like almost for a living. It's sick.
Right.
And to watch them eat it and land on their back is sick.
Was like, there a lot?
There was a lot. Yeah. There was a lot. And there's no reason to crash, but you just crash into people. You crash into the wall. You crash into whatever. And then you're just like... A second later, you're on the floor. And then, because there's so many bikes, then people start smashing into each other. And it's like a derby.
Now, is it suspicious at all that people were crashing all around Hemda? Because the way she drives the car is like, watch this. Watch what I'm going to do. Whoa. Oh, I almost like right into that guy. See how freaked he was?
No, but I did feel like throughout the time.
I just lost my shit.
I did feel like some of the time, like I was being a little bit too helpful. But like as we're going through it, I'm like, all right, Hemda, I know this route pretty well. Here's where we might come up on the bagpiper who's going to be underneath the bridge, even though he wasn't there this year. Here's where you got to be careful when we're on the FDR. There's a lot of potholes in this section. Of course, they paved it this year, so no potholes at all. So I'm prepping her. I'm like, also give yourself some good distance, because if somebody bites it in here in front of you, you don't want to ride right into them, because that's a huge, huge problem to have to deal with.
It wasn't because of me, but I tell you what, I think McNally hates the way I drive, which is totally fine.
Let me tell you a story.
Well, when you bear spray in his face while you're driving.
One time, I was riding with Relic, and Hemda was driving. We were both going the same way, and they were having like this crazy ass speed racer fucking drag chase weaving between cars thing, and I was just trying to be part of the gang, like, ah, this is fun, but I was kind of shitting myself.
I don't blame you, because if I'm in the car and somebody else is doing it, I'm like, God damn it. Because we almost smash into everybody trying to get... But I have to win so that I can roll down my window at the end and go, fucking Ohio. And I did. And that's important to me. And it's like, I will almost smash into your vehicle, Relic, if you try to race me. I don't care. You can't challenge me. Too bad.
I hear he likes smashing that vehicle.
People,
up
you know what? Hemda's been in New York enough that she knows you have to drive like a taxi cab. I don't
have to drive like the way I drive sometimes.
But you're going to be okay doing it. You see dented police cars, dented fire trucks. You don't what you don't see as often, dented taxis. Because they're the fucking chicken cock of the walk, and they're playing the game, and you're going to lose, and you're going to lose the Hemda.
You know what, though? I always, if I'm ever near a taxi, whether I'm riding my bike or walking or whatever, and I'm concerned, always, like clockwork now, I'm always eyeballing the number. Taxi number, because if I get knocked out, got to remember that number. Got to remember that number, because if you get hit by yellow cab,
I'm rich,
you
biatch.
Get paid big time.
Yeah?
Yeah, big time. I have a friend who got hit and got multi-million dollars.
Wow. Your friend Adam Sandler, right?
My friend Adam Sandler. It was an awesome... You should... Oh, my God.
I got to say, though, riding like that is so much fun. I hate driving. And if I don't get to drive like that, I want to kill everybody. And I want to kill everybody in my car. And it's just annoying. But if I get to curse people out and cut people off, and I love when people honk for no reason, because then they get punished right on the road.
There's another story. There's probably a million of these stories. I just haven't been in New York long enough to experience enough of them. But it was when we were in Jersey. Somebody was honking excessively at Hemda, so she just fucking stops in the middle of the road and was like, just give me 10 seconds. And she just sat there, and we're all like, God damn, we're going to be shot. He's going to get out of the car and kill us. And she's like, okay, that's good, and then drives away.
I got to tell you,
because it's in my head, it goes, are you in a rush now, asshole? Are you in a rush now, ass fuck?
She
needs him to stop honking, and then 3 seconds of silence so he understands
why
he stopped.
And a little wave as he goes by.
Right. I'll tell you right now, growing up, that reminds me so much of home, and I love that, because people do need to be taught a lesson on the road. Like when my friend Jimmy and I would ride around in his Cadillac in high school, and we'd be driving down the road, the country road. Some asshole starts riding your ass. You know what? Pull over. Let him go. Then you know what you do? You ride his ass a little ways.
Yep, I've done that.
Then you know what else you do? You pass him when you're not supposed to. Then you know what else you do? You pull right in front of him, parade speed. No cars anywhere. Parade speed. He tries to go around you, you're in a Cadillac.
Yep.
You start moving back and forth. Come on, go around.
Oh, I've
go
totally
around.
Done that. Empty highway, right? Empty highway. Somebody, like, somehow I'm in your fucking way. Me, I'm in your fucking way. Empty fucking highway.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, now I'm going to be in your way extra. Oh, you want to change lanes? Guess what? I have a rear view mirror, and now you're changing lanes into my lanes, motherfucker. Yeah. Then you want to change again? I'm in the fast lane. Oops, I think I'm driving too slow. Fuck you.
You know what the point is? Behave yourself.
Be nice.
Just behave yourself on the road.
I do not use the horn unless it's absolutely necessary.
Of course.
The light just fucking turned green. You have to honk at me? Now the light's still red as far as I can see. I'm colorblind.
You know what, though, I started noticing, like, when I first moved here, I was like, man, I can't believe how much people honk, but I'm starting to notice the differences. Like, it's not always a fuck you honk. Sometimes it's an I'm an asshole honk. I've seen people doing, like, dumb shit, and they're like, I'm sorry, honk!
You know I have to go all the way around if I don't do this right now. Sorry.
I will say that during the ride, there were points. The reason that we were in the back and got all the way toward the front during the bike tour was that there were points where I was like, Hamda, are you with me? She'd be like, yep, I'm right behind you. And we'd just start weaving. You know, and like, there are a lot of bikes on the road.
I couldn't believe you trusted me to do that. That was like, really like car weaving.
And I was just like, I was ready. Like, all you have to do is make sure everybody knows you're coming. And then
I was doing that cheesy thing that you hear in the movies. I'm like, on your left, on your right, on
but
your
you
left,
have to do that in that situation because there's a lot of people who are just kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And then they're like gonna like run their bike into you. Like you're coming up on the side of them and they like see you coming or feel you coming. And they're like, oh, I need to veer this way. And you're like, whoa. And I like, I'll just, if I have to, I'll just put my arm out
sure.
and push somebody
I'd
away.
Appreciate it.
I know.
I remember skiing and I'm like, you might want to help stop me. It's your call. It's your call. Good call. You made a good call.
But there was a point at which, like, we were doing that, and then it got to the point where I knew where Hamda was comfortable was when we started talking to anyone along the route, which was fun. I mean, especially when you're rolling through Harlem and like the little black kids are there with the giant with a megaphone, like just gibberish into the megaphone. All right, and then Hamda's like, yeah, and they're like, yeah.
I helped the cheerleaders cheer. On.
There's not, you know what? Hamda was saying
there's
this.
There's some shitty cheerleaders by fucking a bank that I'm not going to say what bank they are because fuck them.
Right.
And they're holding signs and they were in like three different places and they're hanging out with sourpuss faces and that's not what I need to see. So I ring my bell and I go, I don't hear you. And then
I can see like as you're going by other bikers, like, did you have the banana from the last rest stop? Fucking missed out, man.
Oh, no. We knew that they had the banana because they were all over the road still.
As if
it's some sort of cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
They just throw Mario bananas Kart. On the road. Yeah, it's literally like that. It's ridiculous.
Scary. Matt points out everything to every other biker. There's a bottle right here you might want to watch. There's a banana peel right here.
I mean,
you
it's
might
courtesy. I'm riding along. I see some shit. I'm like, bike pump. I yell and point at it. Everybody's going to see that.
People's
that way they
clothing
don't get,
is so on
they don't
the road.
Hit it.
Are there a lot of people that have no right to be here?
Absolutely. You have a large Chinese man on a girl's bike, of course, a little girl's bike. That's one of the things. As I saw you in the morning when we were about to start, Keith, right. I was like, the thing you're going to miss about this are all the crazies who ride.
I dated a girlfriend that used to run a lot, ran marathons a lot, and you would see like a dude running in high heels, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, that's his thing. So there's no reason the bike world wouldn't be different.
Right. We saw a guy in barefoot. Riding along
There was a guy who his bike only went if he moved his hands.
Yeah.
No feet.
Well, he
all.
Was. I think he was disabled. But I
are
think
you sure?
I'm pretty sure that's what they usually are for.
That's what they're usually for. But he seemed all right.
He might have been. I don't know. I didn't ask him if he could walk. I should have.
How about the guys with the unicycles? Are they fucking disabled?
Huge unicycles, not just like a little unicycle. What it looked like was
circus.
It looked like no. It looked like they were on a. It didn't look like a circus because the wheel was big. So it looked more like, you know, the old-fashioned high bikes with the little tiny wheel in the back. Mm-hmm. It looked like that, only without the little tiny wheel.
That's crazy.
They were crazy. As we're riding by them, Hemda's like, hey, wow, you guys are having fun. And they're like, yeah. And we're like, you guys are crazy.
I'm impressed by you. Yeah. You guys have no – this is insane. And they were so sweet about it. They're like, oh, but you guys are going ahead of us. I'm like – And he goes, we have two wheels. And I'm like, and two hands.
they're like, you guys are more fit than 99% of the population. I'm like, I'm also not nuts.
Right. You know what's funny? What's funny about being on a unicycle, other than the obvious ridiculousness, is at the end, you're like, okay, I'm done. I guess I die now. And then you just fall and die.
Oh, no. They figure out... I want to see them, like, because they were so high up in the air, they had every bridge we went over, like, some of them, they were underneath. Like, they were on the lower level. They had to have been able to reach up and touch the bottom of the upper level.
Wow.
They were really high. Like, especially the Verzano, it seems like you're, like, wedged in between the two levels to me. Like, it felt like, you know, you're going over, but you're, like, in a cave in a weird way.
By the way, this was answered a long time ago. Verzano Bridge, 4,000 feet. A center span of about 4,000 feet.
I don't know how much that is in miles. I only go with miles.
Tell me in kilometers.
I do everything based on my parents' house being 50 feet long. And I'm like, what is that? That's 8,000 of my parents' houses. No, that's, I don't know.
we rode by the children in Harlem, and they're screaming through the megaphone.
That's cool.
In Williamsburg, we ride by the Hasidic kids. Henda's like, hi, girls! And they're like...
Yeah, you didn't get the response you like.
Interesting.
I should have said it in Hebrew. And then we ride by cops.
Hi, girls!
No, I should have said, what are you doing? Looking. That's Hebrew.
We were riding by, I'm like, and you'll see Moishel here in the latest fashions.
What, your feet aren't good enough? What is it?
Take my bike. Take everything.
Take care of what you.
But there's as
we
there's,
ride by cops, and I go, "Hey, cops."
That's fun.
Even if they weren't cops, some of them were fire department.
So there's people there that shouldn't be there. But you were saying before, there's people there who take it like their jobs. Do they not appreciate you going, "Hey, cops"? Do they not appreciate the ling, the ling?
No, the cops loved it, but the ding, ding.
Wait, there was one like, you know, and a lot of people are just excited to be on their bike. So there are bike bells going off and cars that pass that yell, and then everybody cheers. There's a lot of, like, before we start, everyone starts, like, you hear a roar of, like, thousands of people. It's really cool. So
how many people are in this? 30,000?
Yeah, 30,000. They have to cap it now. Like, wow. You have to register a month in advance. They don't accept anybody on the day of anymore. They have to cap it, I think, at 30,000.
So this is around the start of the thing, and I'm like, wow, I'm really excited. So I ring my bell, and this woman behind you goes, I know, I'm behind you, and I'm like, yeah, that wasn't for you. Like, why would I ring the bell for somebody behind me? I go, right. Yeah, I know. That was just for fun. She goes, I know that anyway.
So I fucking kicked her off.
I stopped my bike and said, we wait till we all learn a lesson.
as we're riding by, though, or as we ride a little bit away from her, because, of course, she can't keep up with us, but as we're riding a little bit away from her, I'm like, Henda, you can't just say that was for fun. She doesn't understand for fun.
Right. He goes, she's never done anything in her life that's just for fun.
I was thinking, as you're going by the cops doing the hey, coppers, they should be like, hey! Courtesy, professionalism, respect.
Yeah. It's a two-way street.
By courtesy and professionalism, they mean they give you poor directions yesterday.
Black bike! Take it down! Black bike!
It was funny. There was this one time where the cops were like, hey, you should blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm on a fucking bike, and you have no car in sight, and even if you did, you're not allowed to come after me right now. See you later, coppers!
Well, the other thing is, back to that woman who was screwing around with, or was said to him to, like, oh, you don't have to ring a bell, I'm behind you. Like, to be fair, her bike didn't have a seat. She just had a seat post. But the whole thing with, like, everybody else who rides it, one of my favorite things about this, I like the bicycling community in New York, but the best part about the Fibro Tour is that anybody rides it. Like, you have to have that money to register, and if you're a kid, you don't really have to. You just have to have your parent with you.
Right.
But everybody rides it, including Batman, Pancho Villa, all these people. But that's one of the things I like most about it. Because all those other things where it's just like a bunch of spandex Nazis, like, I don't care. I don't care that you're going to race and run that fast. Like, that's like 1% of the population of people who ride bicycles. More people are that old Chinese man on a little girl's bike. That's more of the people who ride bikes. And I like that about it. I think it's crazy. I think it's fun.
They're not really in your way. It's fine.
Right. You can weave around them really easy. Except if they get a little bit crazy and they try to, like, move around a little too much.
I just turned into a snot. I'm like, these assholes aren't in my way. I'm one of these assholes.
You know, yeah. It
I just
sounds
have
like,
a nice bike.
It sounds from Matt that you're having your shit together. I did find it funny when you went through the finish line and you weren't impressed with the cheering section. What was your little shout? Well,
the guy's going in. People are coming in. Isn't that exciting? And there were some people, and it was one of these claps. So I wanted to get a little more attention.
And
are you
like, people coming in? I'm in the top 100 people coming in.
You know what's funny is that Hemda got really excited at two points. One was there is actually a point at which they cut off yeah. time trial because they have to they have a certain population or they have a certain amount of time that they can have the course open. So they were like, "You guys made the cut time. You don't have to take the short." Well, they didn't say you don't have to take shortcut, but I explained to him that there's a point at which they have to cut the race short, so they give people a shortcut,
and then you do less miles. But we went ahead.
We made it ahead. And the other thing was is that she didn't realize this, but when we went across, they were like, "Aren't you excited?" Blah blah blah. Everybody else after that, I don't know, when we went back to where the finish line was, everybody else after that is the whole thing, all they're saying is, please stay on your bike until you cross the finish line into the designated area, because people are dying to get off their bikes at that point, because it just took them so long.
If you go super fast, they're like, you get to go through the ring of fire.
You're going to Hollywood!
So I'm about to cross the finish line, and I hear this guy, and I'm like, where are the you know, it's like, I just fucking ran. I mean, biked 42 miles or whatever the fuck it was. And then I go, I need everyone's attention. So I go, I just peed my pants. Peed my pants.
Next year, just lift the top as you go across. And then try to pretend you didn't do that. And imagine they're just cheering, you know.
You would be funny. Then you're on like New York One, right? You're on all the news. They'll show this, but they'll have to blacken it out.
They
like,
will show it, though.
Isn't that funny? It's true. They'll show it, but with pixels.
New York One, we're classy with the black box over boobs.
That's a good idea.
So like, sometimes a lot of traffic, like, you're able to weave, content.
Yeah, there's bottlenecks.
Could you use less people?
Sometimes.
At certain points. Yeah. There are a ton of people riding this thing, obviously. But
sounds fun how you both said there's a lot of accidents.
There are, yeah. The best, like Henda said, the best is like when you get some asshole who's like, fuck all these people, and they go up way on the left, and that's like right near where, like, on the highway, and like right near where, like the divide is to where the traffic is, and somebody bites it, and they like knock into that divider, and they're like flipping over themselves. And then we just come upon it, and like there's a bunch of people like, accident, blah, blah, blah. And then we ride by a little bit further, and some guy's like, he shouldn't have hit his brakes. He could have just fell forward and kept going. I was like, just fell on his face.
Right.
And then there was a somebody laying down and medics at him. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, wow, maybe there's blood. And Matt goes, well, if there was blood, would you be able to keep going? Fuck yeah. It's not my blood.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not a doctor. I wish there was blood.
If there was blood, I'd stop and take a picture for Keith.
Thank you, baby. Thank you. What's the stupidity with bikes? Fixed gear.
Fixed gear. What's fixed gear?
You have to bike all, you have to pedal
all the time.
Constantly.
Yeah, I have a bike. I have two bikes with flip-flop wheels. One of them is, one side is freewheel, which you can coast, and then one side is fixed gear, which you have to pedal constantly, which is more like the original way that bicycles made. Like the rear wheel, you can turn it around. One side is fixed gear. One side is freewheel.
Okay, but people buy bikes that are only
just
fixed gear.
Right, right. Oh, now, of course, trendy people do. For
explain
sure.
Explain what it is.
What it is that as you're riding it, there's one speed. Right. That's determined by the front chain ring in relationship to the back chain ring as the chain hooks to it. Like that. That's the gear ratio is that one speed.
It's if you kinda don't
explain
if you,
it.
If you don't pedal, you don't move.
Right. You
even
don't move.
Even if you're
it
going
stops.
Downhill,
you have
don't
to pedal.
Yeah, if you don't pedal, the wheel will stop.
It's completely fixed to the pedal. So as the pedals move, just like a tricycle, when you ride a tricycle, the front end, or like a big wheel.
It sounds a little more dangerous than a big wheel.
Well, it is because in a big wheel or a tricycle, you're leaned back a little bit. But on a fixed gear, it's like you're on a regular bike.
It's very dangerous. So you can't even enjoy coasting. You have to go faster than the coast.
Right, right. It's actually a much more efficient way to ride because you always are pedaling, and it's a little bit more controlled because you have to be really aware of like what's happening in front of you, or else you're gonna get in an accident.
I don't like.
But I agreed. Like most of that is about trend right now. But the reason it came back into fashion is that messengers.
Williamsburg is bored.
Well, true, but messengers used to use it because that way people wouldn't steal their bike. Because if you steal a fixed gear bike, it'll kick you off. If you don't know how to ride a fixed gear bike. It will literally, the pedal will push you up because you'll try to coast and then your rear leg will start popping up. Like because you're not used to like having to pedal all the time. But now, fixed gear bikes cost more than multi-speed bikes.
Oh, jeez.
Because of like the trend set.
Isn't that funny?
It absolutely is. It's ridiculous because it's a more simple machine. It should cost less. But because of that, now all the really high-end pro guys are just like, whatever, I'm just going to ride a really nice road bike with multi-speed.
Right.
So, like, the reason that initially all the hipsters and trendsetters and all those guys got into it is now, like, all flipped back on itself, and it's ridiculous.
So to stop, Do you have regular breaks too, or do you just skid to a stop?
Sometimes people have a front brake, a regular brake, the sane ones who ride those.
Right.
Other guys are like, oh, I'm just going to skid.
It's like skiing.
But actually, there is a really...
Everything to keep this is like skiing.
There actually is
everything
a
that
really
you can
cool...
fall on, it's like skiing.
Uh-huh. It's like skiing, except there's no ice when you fall.
Right. Except there's not like a hot little, you know, winter bunny
there's
you
no,
can crash
there's no
into.
Snow bunny.
No. All we were doing yesterday was looking at people's asses.
Oh, my God.
Because girls only wear, like, biker pants are...
What can you do?
I can see everything.
I'm a crazy person because I like to ride around and I see a girl who has a really nice behind and she's wearing those pants.
I think
you can see it. It's like they're painted on.
Matt and I have different tastes in asses, though.
We do.
I think I pointed out the nicest ass and he thinks he did, but mine was like way nicer.
But whatever. The reason I like the ass that I pointed out better
is because you can almost see her JJ.
Well, yeah,
back.
I mean, they were painted on, but beyond that, like, she's a little bit dumb because those didn't have any pad in them. Like, why would you wear those? They don't have the
Because you don't
pad.
Have a friend named Matt who tells you to wear ass pants.
That's true.
Never have gotten ass
Yeah, but
pants.
I would just let her be stupid.
I wouldn't even have gotten a helmet for
stupid.
This thing.
Did you have ass pants on?
Of course.
Do you normally wear those when you ride normally?
No.
To and from work, for example?
No. I have a seat that's pretty comfortable. I have like a old school leather seat.
I remember going to pick you guys up and traffic was fucking insane where I really thought like, I can use a bicycle right now. Is this ironic?
Well, yeah, I was thinking that like, that would be probably the easiest way for you to get out of here.
Wow. Were you guys, then we went out to eat. Were you guys just, okay, so I'm stuck in traffic. And I'm just I have air conditioning on. I don't know what it is. Maybe just the anger of being in traffic. I don't know. I was really okay. I had my iPod and everything, but I'm starting to like get a sweat buildup in my pants. And then later on, I'm walking around New York City. I'm getting a buildup, and I'm like, I gotta fucking change my clothes somewhere. You guys had to be sitting in your own fucking waste.
It's really not that bad because as you're moving, the air is moving across you the whole time.
It was beautiful weather.
Yeah,
it was great. It is because you're moving, like you're getting all that air, and then like the oh, it was just so perfect. It was so perfect. I mean, I smelled my ass pants after just to see.
I did not smell mine.
I have to.
Am I the only one in the room being like, of course you would. You just rode a marathon.
Right?
How are you gonna know?
How am I gonna know what?
See, that's a fundamental difference, I think, between Keith and Hemda. Hemda will say that and then laugh, whereas Keith is just like, I jerked off to the stripper in Grand Theft Auto. He doesn't laugh. He's fucking, that's just how it is. And you guys are both coming from the same place of just admitting what people do, except Hemda cracks up and Keith's like, what?
I gotta, if it's a game, I gotta give the point to Hemda then. I think that's more socially aware.
You never thought to. I don't know. Because you know what it is.
I never thought. Like I didn't come home and I was like, oh, I gotta sniff these.
Oh, I didn't get home. I changed it in the car and then went. Well, I gotta smell these.
I don't think Henda said I can't wait for privacy.
No, I was just like, I mean, all right, it's the same as like you're wearing anything while you're like working out or get sweaty or anything.
Yeah,
like
I smell my underwear after I run.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's not for me. I think that there is some sort of like condition that is that. Like, I don't know what it is. But I don't think it's a problem.
Not all the time. I just wonder, like, okay, my entire undies are completely soaked because I just, like, killed myself running.
You are so making Bruno so excited right now.
By the way, we're going to, I think we're going to start.
Bruno makes me excited, so.
At Slash.
Do you tell him that? Nice.
At Slash Live Video, if Bruno's around, I think we're going to have him open every show.
Can I tell? He was just reading chat. As the chat was going by, yeah. Bruno was reading it, and he's just, you know, as he's reading, he's like, I like the way that Bruno reads all these without thinking.
You know, I gotta say that that's really funny because it's gonna piss off the people who are like a little upset with the change of the chat so much more. That's just funny for me. Like, I know.
Well, let me tell you what pisses me off. I spent $20,000 on a new computer, and I signed up to Pal Talk for 18 years. And now what?
18 years.
Fuck me, right?
I went to Pal Talk College. It cost me 40 grand each year that I did it. And you know what? Fuck y'all. I'm staying with the Pal Talk.
I can't help, if I'm completely honest, I can't help but being a little offended that if you're a regular listener, like for a while, that you would actually think that we're trying to screw you changing shit up. I can't help but be offended that you would think after, like, I think you know us a little bit and I think we're on your side for the, I mean... I mean, we're on our side also, but there is a fucking balance. I mean, if the chat window is smaller now, we're not like, well, go fuck yourself.
We're sitting there, and we work on it.
That's what we do all day. We sit there on our computer going, contacting the main guy who runs this site going, here's what we'd like to see happen. And we're not, you can tell it is bothering Kendall a little bit because normally she wouldn't say anything.
Understandably, like she doesn't like to hear people giving like so much like negative criticism constantly.
It's fine, but to the point where we said, hey, we want your feedback and we want to make this better and we want this to work out because we think that this will be better, not just for us, like we're hoping, yes, to get more traffic for this. We're not getting paid. This isn't like a major, you know, it's a major change for everyone and for us too. So we're inviting what you need changed and you're like, oh, you just want to screw us. Like, what do you think? Like, we're on the computer all day going, how can we fuck our listeners hard in the ass with no lube?
I mean, the ones that like that.
Let's really kill them now. Especially the ones with the tattoos, because super fuck them. What did they ever fucking do for us?
You know, what I can't get over is that, like, the show has evolved so much since I've listened to it. So I just remember the whole time. And I have, like, a problem. I'm like an elephant. I can't not remember shit. Maybe it's one of the reasons I like that movie Eternal Sunshine so much.
Right.
But it's like there's a situation where it's like the last time they changed the chat, you fucking hated the new one too. Did you forget? You're like a battered wife. You keep coming back, and you know what? You forgot the last time that, you know what? You got through something and you changed it. And you know what? Now you love this new one. Wait till you guys change from this thing to your next thing, and they're going to fucking hate you for changing that. And then they're going to love it again.
But there's also growing pains. Like for us, we make some mistakes along the way, and then we know, okay, don't do that next time, but we go back and we try to fix it. Sure. I don't know. You're trying something different.
This
is stupid for me to even say, but.
Right. But I mean, the reason that I like it, and I don't have that much of a problem with the new live video system is that, one, I use a Mac. You're getting a different population now because of that, which is nice. You know, you're at least providing for them.
And it's free service.
I know. Come on, like they're pissed because you went from paid to free.
We thought it would be nice. I swear to God, we thought it would be nice.
Do you know that I got with all the bitching going on? But look at it. It is the same 10 people. No offense to them, but it is the same 5 to 10 people repeating their shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that. Okay. But also, one email did I get that had made any kind of sense why they didn't like the new Switch. One email. Like, the con is, the pros is. One email, and I wrote this dude back, and we talked back and forth. One email like an adult. Cheese of all fucking people.
I know, my God.
Cheese of all people.
Creepy little bit.
I'm starting to think they don't respect. What the fuck? Right before
Cheese
we did
who
this
I
show.
Invited, who I invited to my birthday. Yeah, well, I mean, like, what? I don't like that you was all so of that
a sudden. You were helping for another card because your boyfriend's a drunk. And right before the show, this sounds too loud. Fuck me. They fucking hate me. This sounds too loud. Oh, well, how about this? Oh, my God, they fixed it. Yeah, I lowered the sound.
I noticed that because I was at home that night, Saturday night. I was on the thing. And, you know, they're like, oh, the feed is down again. The show hasn't started yet. Fucking relax.
Right. Oh, my God. The demand, the fucking entitlement of some of the fuckers. Holy shit. No, you wonder why I bitch at people in the chat room.
But we want things to be good.
Agreed. I mean, the big point that I like, somebody made some sort of negative comment, and then they made a good point about, like, the fact that they trust that you guys are trying to do something new. And somebody else followed it up with the sound quality thing. How often do you? I mean, Keith goes nuts if the sound isn't perfect.
Yeah,
obviously, eventually,
Keith is annoying me. Should I write info at keithandthegirl.com?
Could you please start a new thread? Keith annoys you about doing the sound properly.
Keith yells way too fucking loud the curse word fuck and shit. When the sound is not perfect. Right before the show, what happened? He broke one of the mic arms.
One of the mic arms.
Or I don't know what it was.
Right now, Matt B is talking into the same mic as Keith McNally.
Yeah.
That does not make me happy.
I don't know if it was that or something else where you were like, fucking shit, and I'm like, okay. And then as I realized, I said it in the same tone you did, and that doesn't help. And it was probably the first time that ever happened to us where I'm not just like, what I try to do is just ignore you when you yell that loud. Because it's not going to help to talk to you. It's not going to help to, like, help you. It's just you need to yell and scream, fine. But then he looks at me like, how dare you say it in that tone? I'm like, all right, but you just took it to that level. And, okay, I'm walking out now. Who wants water?
Here comes the married couple action. Fuck you! Okay!
Which is exactly what I never want to do. And it was the first... We both looked at each other like, That never happened.
Now who wants a fucking drink?
Wait till this ends up like All in the Family and you guys are in front of a piano at the beginning of every show.
With Bruno.
With Bruno as the child.
Yeah, he's our adopted kid.
Except that he masturbates to you. What?
Oh!
Oh! Oh! Oh! He is 14.
I was hoping the weed made him too dumb to know what to do. I really was counting on that.
He probably does. He probably is a little bit too dopey.
He can make bongs at anything, but...
You know what? The funny thing is he uses that little accent during it. That weird little accent.
He does a little joke thing I don't like. Be yourself, Bruno. I like your weird self. By the way, so getting back to sweaty assholes. It's just funny to me that you guys are on bikes and the wind gets rid of any buildup disgusting. I'm in a car with the air on, too, though. I understand that it's not going through me, you know. But and we walk, which isn't a long walk, like 14 short blocks, because after we hung out eating, we're gonna go see Iron Man, and I'm just between the two. I'm like, I am just sweat, just in shit. And then Iron Man ends up not being open, so we stop by or sold out until a later time. So we stop by a bar, and then I'm talking to Hemda because I'm trying to get cool places to show. I'm with McNally and Spooky, and especially McNally, I want to take him to a cool place. And I gotta tell you, by the way. A little sidetrack for a second. I feel like an old man that just got out of prison, and none of the cool bars are open anymore. This Sprite bar I used to always go to up by the Comfort Diner, closed. I'm like, all right, we're in this area around Union Square. We're going to go to Corovo. And I think that's what it is. Anyway, it's a bar, and the inside motif looks just like the inside of a Clockwork Orange, their bar, their milk bar.
It's
but
a Cordova milk
yeah,
bar.
Yeah. Cordova, is that
yeah,
what it is?
I believe so.
Okay, so I know it's and I'm like, Cordova, Corova, Corova. And it's something like that. And everybody's like, never heard of it. I'm like, it's like they have like $5 for a shot and a drink. Like, it's a big thing. The college is right here. It's a big thing for that whole thing. Like, I know it's here somewhere. What is it? It's the Clockwork Orange Bar. Yeah, that sounds cool. Like I'm a retard.
Yeah, it's not even that they've just closed. It's like the whole civilization has passed. They're like, you know, you're in America, buddy. You know that? Like, you know?
You just woke up from being frozen.
Well, maybe make a left at the Blade Runner bar and a right on what the fuck is wrong with you?
I mean, you do have to understand that if that bar had hung around, Disney would have bought it and it would have been a fucking shit bar
so,
by now.
So I go outside of the bar that we happen to just pick. And I'm calling Hemda, and I find that it closed October of 96, which to me isn't so long ago that I'm looking like a
2006,
retard.
2006, you mean?
2006. Yeah. What did I say?
96.
2006.
Oh, my God. It's happening even worse now.
I'm fucking old. I'm done. I'm done. Everything's done. So I take him to a bar that I recognize. I'm like, we'll play darts in the back. That's been painted over. I am this relic that shouldn't be fucking out and about at all.
You know what? It's awesome that you just were telling these stories because I just had an epiphany of a new place that might be the possible place.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't want to say it over the air.
Okay.
But
we'll
I had just came up with one.
All right.
So can I tell the story again about the sock change? I love this one. So we're hanging out at this alternative bar that we found, you know, just as because we couldn't find the Clockwork Orange place because it's gone.
Do they not serve booze?
Yeah. No, I mean, it was just it didn't have a theme. It was just a bar. You know, it wasn't fancy.
A dive bar.
So me and Spooky are sitting there sharing a pitcher of beer, and we're just like, hey, where'd Keith go? I don't know. I guess he's in the bathroom. And then like 10 minutes later, he rolls in with a new pair of socks, a new shirt, and new underwear. And he's like, I'll be right back. Goes into the fucking bathroom. So was anything left from your original ensemble besides your pants?
No.
And
I think it's so funny because to me, underwear, you have to wash before you wear.
Well, I got to admit, I mean, I was fucking filthy and disgusting too. It's a genius move, but I just can't. Bring myself to I wouldn't even occur to me to do that. But why
but
not?
But now that you've seen it, would you do it?
Well, no. You walk. It's crazy. You walk down the street and buy new clothes and just put them on. You're going to be home in a few hours. I don't know. But I can't deny that it's effective and it makes sense. But I could never see doing.
Listen
it.
Listen to this. Keith is so uncomfortable when he's not in his freshest.
Yes.
Is that like the gayest sentence ever?
It's true. It's gay and it's true.
No, but
Glamour magazine. Next interview. Next interview.
$6. I had all new. Under everything.
And it's not like you're not going to use it again.
At a drugstore. I happened to call Hemda on the phone. I looked up. I'm like, Dwayne Reed, fuck it.
Yeah, hey. That's why they sell them there.
But
they
won't. Yeah. If he's not the freshest, then it's time for me to go to bed. He's like, I need to take a shower. I'm like, I'm going to be asleep by the time you take a shower. We need to do this high-low thing. Just come to bed and just like do that so that I can sleep. And because then it's like, oh, shower. Oh, let me check the forms. I know your routine. Just let me go to sleep. So then he goes, but I'm not clean. So what he does is... He doesn't go – he's like, You can see that he's uncomfortable on the bed because he doesn't want to get the bed dirty because all of his, like, and he's just a normal guy at that point. It's not like he's disgusted. He's like a sweating man. He doesn't actually sweat. I've never seen him, like, physically, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There are guys sweat who, pouring off him.
There are guys who really, you could see the beads forming, and they really, I'm like, okay, maybe you should
they
wipe
play,
that
they
off.
They all play professional basketball.
While they're just hanging out. In their head, they're playing basketball, and they're starting to sweat.
While they're just hanging
yeah,
out?
Yeah, it's not like he's like that. He just feels like he's grimy, and he's like, no, yeah. The world has hit me too hard today. So he's laying there, and I'm like, you know what, just fucking take a shower. We'll do this Hilo thing. I'll wait.
Can you and Keith McNally do a commercial that is about you walking along the side of a river with maybe with Keith McNally or with Relic, and they can ask you, do you ever feel not so fresh? And then Keith's like, yeah, I have to take a shower or buy new underwear.
I think it's great because the alternative to that is like he could not give a fuck what he smells like all the time, be one of those disgusting guys that like – wait,
I don't stink. Let's make
sure. No, absolutely
he never
not.
Does.
I'll tell you
he
right
never
now.
Does. Even when he thinks he stinks, and I'm like getting close to him, he's like, and this is. It's not that it's every day. At the end of the day, he's like, don't touch me. But if he had a day where he's like cleaning or something, or like being more physical than usual, he's
cleaning.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, that's his physical. That's his physical activity. So I will purposely smell his armpit and go, you're fine. And he's like, oh, don't do that.
I guess what just makes me nuts about it is that.
It's so socially unacceptable or weird.
No, it's that I wish I could follow you down this path because I can't see any reason not to, but I just can't. It just is crazy. Just weird.
I realize sometimes that I, you know, along with not being able to find any of these bars I used to hang out with, that I'll sound like an old man, but there was this point where I got to a certain age where I'm not going to be embarrassed by things that I really don't think are crazy. And I don't think this is crazy.
I don't think it is either, but this is where Keith McNally's logic and thriftiness fight. Because Keith McNally is a thrifty motherfucker.
You can always use extra socks and shit, though. I mean, that's not... Right. And that's the other thing. You didn't even throw out the old ones, right? You kept them.
Yes.
Sure, bring them home.
Course,
wash them.
Yeah.
I see Keith
if I was
McNally,
at a club or on a date or going to a chick's house, I'd throw out my old shit. I'd throw out my old shit, but... But it's two guy buddies. Fuck it. I don't care, Dwayne. Where are we going?
Yeah. Where are we going? Someplace fancy? Not the Cordova Milk Bar.
Yeah. McNally didn't have a problem when we're buying beers at a store and putting them in Spooky's bag.
To go into the movie theater?
To go into the movie theater. That's normal.
It is normal.
Change your fucking pants.
Definitely Keith McNally, would totally get way more into doing the laundry in the bathroom sink and using the hand dryer to dry it.
That should be like a whole fucking thing they should sell of like the Keith Malley pack. It's got all the shit. It's got a six pack and
do
it's got the new clothes.
Do you feel not French? Then not fresh? The Keith Malley pack.
It comes with wet wipes.
And a shot.
Well, we're like, what are you doing? Washing your pants in there? But then he goes, yeah, I saved money, though. Goobers for everybody. We're like, oh, thanks. And he's like, well, it's not about being cheap. Goobers for everybody. Yeah, so we saw a later show, but we saw Iron Man. And everybody is loving this movie. Four fucking stars, cream of the crop. Not only the best superhero movie, the best whatever movie. McNally, how was it?
I think that people are exaggerating how good it was. I don't think it's like Spider-Man X-Men level, but it's just underneath. I liked it a lot. But the thing is, I know you didn't so much, and I was thinking about it a bit. I don't think we saw different movies. It's not like I understood more about it or like saw levels you didn't see. We both saw the same thing.
I had to leave during the dramatic parts to get new underwear.
It just didn't bother me that it was kind of half dumb. I mean, I really liked it. Thumbs up for me.
I think that Keith McNally just has much lower expectations.
I found this movie a slap in the face of giving a fuck. The movie... Here's what bothers me. Maybe it's something the world can do and I can't. Otherwise, I have to call
the
whole...
I have a question first. Yeah. Jon Favreau directed this. He's the guy from Swingers.
Right.
Was it Swingers with an iron suit? That's what I want to know.
No, it was hip. The talking was
some guy
fast.
Whining about his ex-girlfriend?
Nah.
Well, you know, something else I was thinking about. I almost think it being, like, semi-stupid helped, because I remember Batman Begins, I thought was an excellent movie, until he puts on the Batman suit, and I'm like, that's just stupid. This movie made psychological sense until he dressed up like a bat, whereas Iron Man was half stupid already, so when he starts flying around in a suit, it doesn't bother me. You know,
It's almost like during the Five Borough tour, the guy dressed as Batman. It made sense until I saw his cape getting caught in his wheel.
Looks like Superman's not impervious to anything.
Well, you knew Superman would be riding. You don't need a bicycle; it'll fly around.
That doesn't make sense, Batman. Grapple us the fuck over the bridge. But anyway, yeah, I like, people can watch this and I guess dumb themselves down or just be like, I'm okay. Like, I don't know. I need a movie to really try. And to me, this movie couldn't happen. However, keep in mind, The Matrix, the first movie, The Matrix, to me, can happen. The Sixth Sense, to me, is my favorite movie ever made. Second one probably being Private Parts. But these retarded shit I can get into if you took the time. Minority Report. It took me a second to get over the spiders, but I'm like, nah, I can see that fucking happening. I can see that happening. Iron Man, no. I know they took the swizzle stick and divided it proportionally to an upper turn ratio of 7-2. No, because that will do the ice. You do it 7-1. But you fix that, sure. Exactly. And everybody's like, I know that. I'm a fucking scientist. This movie didn't explain shit, and it was very. I found it very dumb, and I can't like shit that I'm just supposed to fucking let go. Then why bother making a movie? Why not just put him in Iron Man suit? Where'd he get that from? Where'd he get anything from? Where'd he get his computer buddies that were fucking people? How about that? I get it. You start the movie going, this guy's the smartest guy in the world. Done. That's all I need. That is all I need. I don't need to see how he was born, what position his parents fucked in. I believe you. But all of a sudden, you got computers that are fucking people, that have feelings. Like, why would you even program a computer to make it get sad and not help you?
So I didn't.
This is one of the rare times where Keith is describing a movie and I didn't go see it with him, and I totally get all the feedback where it's like, oh good, Keith's getting mad. I don't know what he's talking about, but yay!
I didn't get
that's
to see
how
it.
I'm feeling right now. I'm like, computer part, okay.
I didn't get to see it either, but I mean, by choice. But let me see if I can guess by the trailer.
Okay.
Rich white guy creates a metal suit that makes him into a superhuman, and he crushes the heads of Arab children. Am I close?
Okay, but the thing is called Iron Man, I think.
Let me tell you what's both awesome and stupid about that basic premise, because you're right, is I like the fact that he you know, is like fighting like larger issues. He like goes to the Middle East, he destroys weapons caches and shit. He's not just like, it always bugged me that Batman will waste his time throwing batarangs at random thugs. That's a fucking waste of time. That's stupid.
What are you talking about?
However, what makes Iron Man stupid is he's only fixing problems he caused because it's his company that sold all the weapons to the terrorists. He's not getting ahead. He's just fixing his own shit.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? It's like cleaning up his toys. That's all it really is. You know what's funny?
I'm sorry to cut you off, but this feedback's coming in too fast that I have to acknowledge this point. Keith's just mad because he saw a robot. Keith is just mad because the robot scared him. Keith, we all know why you didn't like Iron Man. It's because he looked too much like a robot.
Well, I mean, kind of. But I gotta say that, like, I love that the premise, and I haven't seen the movie, but what McNally is just saying is just perpetuating that whole bullshit about, like, and I don't want to get political, but
sure,
about weapons in Iraq. Like, it's literally perpetuating the lie that we all know was a lie how long ago. It's just like,
I guess.
You know what, there were weapons in Iraq, and guess what, Iron Man sold them to him. You know what?
Iron Man
did it, and you know what, he's gotta go clean it up. So until we get Iron Man, we're fucked.
You know, I know, Keith, I remember you really hate the argument of, you know, it's a superhero movie. What did you expect?
What did you expect, right?
However, I love
the first Batman, and I love the new version of the first Batman.
I agree completely. However, besides the top tier shit.
Except, I'm sorry, the very first Batman. The only problem that bothered me of the first Batman, I'm weird what bothers me, is when Batman flies up and makes the Batman symbol with his bat plane in the moon. And then it goes back down, and everybody's in the theater's like, that's fucking awesome. I'm like, who was that for? Who saw that?
I understand. Actually, you know what's funny is that in terms of film criticism and theory,
right,
you're actually touching on a point that is very unique in that movie.
Thank you. Did the French invent it?
Actually, it was a Spanish guy who has made movies in France, though.
Well, the tickle says, film critique from the guy who likes the science of sleep. No thanks. Continue, Keith.
But, thanks, the tickle. Guess who's got a microphone?
As far as, like, superhero movies go, though, like, the top tier ones are good. You got Spider-Man, X-Men, Batman. But all the lower tier characters, they're terrible. Just a fucking array of shit movies. And Iron Man, by all rights, should have been, like, another Ghost Rider, Daredevil, fucking horseshit.
Iron
and
Man
it was much better than those.
Iron Man, I see what you're
and
saying.
That did affect me. I was expecting it to be just a throwaway bullshit one, and it was better than those ones.
Because it is, Iron Man isn't Spider-Man. Iron Man, I didn't know Iron Man. I knew of him. You know what I mean? It's like everybody, like, stay after the credits, learn about the fucking Avengers. I'm like, I recognize that word. Do you know what I mean? Nick Fury. I know him. Should he be white?
Yeah,
I
don't. Me and fucking Spooky, we caught like 2/3 of the way through the movie. Nick Fury's like special agency is called S.H.I.E.L.D. He's like, is that the fucking S.H.I.E.L.D. logo? And we were both like, that's so cool.
Wow. You guys weren't the only nerds definitely doing that.
I'm sure, but still, like, maybe that's why people loved it. Maybe you got to be real nerdy to love it.
Well,
like,
I think Spooky still hated it. I don't know. I don't understand because me and Spooky both loved Jumper, which the world hated. We thought it was great. Well, how's this movie different than Jumper? But Spooky didn't like Iron Man.
How could you disagree with anything?
It's just action shit. How can you like one and not like the other.
Maybe nerds aren't fucking a lot of chicks, okay? That they don't know this. When Penny is a Penny, who's the secretary with the sexual
Penny
tension?
Or something. Where?
I went to the bathroom during a part. Let me guess. They were about to kiss, but then that's what I'm gonna guess. I missed.
Sounds like I wrote it.
Right. So, what the fuck am I saying? This movie's angering me
secretary.
Too much. Thank you. The secretary. Is gonna go talk to S.H.I.E.L.D. and be like, "Hey, you want to have an interview with me? I'll tell you what the fuck's going on right now. This company that Stark Industries that Iron Man works for is fucking shady, and we got to get fucking shit done now. Okay, first, apparently, I have to put on extremely nonsensical shoes because he's about to die, and I'm in a fucking hurry. Have you been with chicks, nerds? Do you know how long those sexy shoes take for them to put on? They're sleek and they're tight." Because they need girlfriends to put those shoes on them. These aren't easy shoes to slip on and off. And it's not practical.
That's why you keep them on during sex.
Right. It's not because they're trying to give you a treat. It's because they're going to have to put them back on when you throw them in a cab. I mean, for that dumb shit to stand out to me, that makes no sense.
See, I can, like, write that character off immediately. I'm just like, okay, that's...
Write the whole movie off. Write half the plot off, and I can make do. Why have a movie? Hold on. Hold on a second. And done. I just made an awesome Iron Man movie in my head. You know what it was? 7 pairs of tits.
See, I don't know how you go into these movies, but like I remember...
I'll tell you how I go right. in. I'm sorry, but I'll tell you how I go in.
Oh, you said the wrong thing.
With 950.
Right.
Then I sit down. That's how I go into a movie.
Wait. With 950 and your own beverages.
Right, and my own beverages. Sorry.
I definitely go for, with superhero movies anyway, the glass half full fucking theory. Like when I went to see Ghost Rider, I was given it every fucking... I wanted to like it. I was like, I'll accept as much shit as you can throw at me. I just want to have a fun time at this movie. And I could not. It was so bad. I mean, but this movie, I had no problem. I was like, every dumb little dopey line, whatever. It wasn't enough to break the dam, you know?
Maybe it's because I'm not like a big like reader of movie reviews or anything like that. But seriously, McNally, you got to have some sort of problem if you went into Ghost Rider giving it half a chance.
Well, why would you go to a movie to want to hate it? I want to like it. No one's going to suffer except me if I don't like it. So I want to try to like it.
Yeah, but that's why I just didn't go.
I got to admit, it got me like 3 days before Ghost Rider opened. All of a sudden, the ads started making sense to me. I was like, wait, maybe this is cool. It is my own fault. They got me.
Oh my God, they got you.
Pepper Potts, of course, was his name. Thank you, guys. Also, Super Orgasmo. Dude, I know I'm a nerd, but shit, just the technology in Iron Man was enough to give me a wet dreams. They made it all up! They did, and they didn't explain it to you! Did you go home going, what's that going to take? 5 years and then I have an extinguisher robot with a personality? They didn't explain nothing! The technology alone? He could fly and he has flying stabilizers on his hands! The technology alone! Did NASA go like 5 years ahead of... Are we going to be at Mars now thanks to this movie? The technology alone!
Look, 20 years ago, if this guy were the same age then... He would have been jerking off to the fact that you could set your phasers to stun on Star Trek,
right.
Okay? It's not fucking amazing science. It's fiction.
Well, you know, another thing I think I always keep in mind with these movies is they really are based on comic book premises that are 50 years old. Like, with Batman, the only reason I even accepted that he would dress like a fucking bat is because of the pre-existing history. So I think that way with all these movies. Like, you got to put yourself in a 1960s filter because that's what it is. That's when it was written.
Same guy correcting me, by the way. Hey, I'm talking about the workshop shit. None of that was fucking explained to you. Do you know that wasn't explained to you? What's his main technology? What's that super hard power thing called?
I don't know.
Okay, the motherfucker. So he, that keeps... And then they have the big motherfucker that they just did for attention, right? If you saw the movie. That wasn't the motherfucker. You don't even know what the fuck it is.
But I don't understand. I brought this up in the movie. You were like, how did the Obadiah guy know how to remove the power cell from Tony Stark's chest? But what do you want? Like a scene where he's reading a book and he's like, ah, of course. Like,
you can't. You just can't. Like, you can explain it somehow, but you sneak into his lab. He developed a tool, the bad guy, to take the heart thing out of Iron Man's chest. You know, how do you know by looking at it once, the circumference, what the inside is? What's that connected to?
I don't think that was measure twice, cut once.
Thank you. Matt. How about the translation button? There's a million fucking things. There's Arabic that these people are talking. It's a couple different languages, but it's mostly Arabic that these people are talking. And so they translate it, and it flat out says, like, your boss at Stark Industries is a double deal and is selling weapons to the bad guys. So you thought you were just selling weapons to the good guys. You're actually, this war is 9/11 is because of you, Tony Stark. So they press, she types in translate, enter, and it translated. Okay, you know what? It's the fucking super future. They never said what year it was. Maybe you could translate like that, no matter Arabic, fucking the toughest language next to Chinese. I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem that it should come out like a computer voice. It wouldn't come out in a gruff fucking sand language, but in English.
You know, they do have some technology that can do close to that now, but still, like, I enjoy movies where they do set up questions. Like, that is interesting to me. But usually they answer some of them, or at least they lead you down the path to being able to answer them yourself in an easy way.
Agreed.
Like, that's interesting. Like, that's a really well-written movie does that.
You go, how do I go into the movie? I go in, like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I will make the smartest movies. Don't movies you feel like kind of like you want to say thank you when your coolest movies kind of miss scenes and you're like yeah, I get it. You didn't need to explain that, you know?
Right, exactly. That's absolutely the
best.
I'm completely agreed with you is that, and this is one of the ways that I look at my own work, is that if you can make a good movie and remove some of the scenes and still make everyone be able to understand it very easily,
right,
you made a great movie. Like, that's interesting.
See, I really can't argue with these points because, like, for instance, I'm thinking this next Batman I'm really looking forward to, but for a superhero movie, it's going to be some brainy shit. And I kind of liked the fact that Iron Man wasn't, that I could just fucking watch it.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. People are like, hey, it's a dumb popcorn movie. Then I don't know.
You know what, though? I do go into a different head for certain movies. Like, for example, Live Free or Die Hard. I get it, okay? It's not...
I got that, too. Didn't bother me at
all.
Exactly.
Me neither. And I understand that, like, it's one of those enjoyable, like, things.
Because they didn't try, I think. They don't try to lie to you.
Right.
This movie, Iron Man,
I feel like
lied to the whole fucking audience, and people clapped. And I know I see our own forms. I know I'm in the minority, but I feel like this movie just fucking lies to everybody.
You know what I hate worse?
I'll tell you what I hate worse. How you build another suit for the Negro boy in the future. You couldn't build another heart motherfucker. Just in case.
You know what? You know what I hate about it, though? Is that you get a situation where they're like the reviews come out and everybody's reading these reviews and it is the shit movie.
Right.
This movie will suck your dick.
Right.
Okay? Then they go see it. You know what? They're disappointed in their heart. They're a little bit disappointed. But you know what? They read all those reviews, and they don't want to be the one person
maybe
who's like, you know what? It didn't really do much for me. They have to go along with the whole, you know what? What are you talking about? Look at all the weapons and the things that move around mechanically.
But aren't
they did
also,
that shit 100 years ago in movies.
Aren't they also people? There are people who are very devoted to who made Iron Man? Whatever.
Jon Favreau?
No, but is it Marvel?
Yeah, it's
whatever?
One of the Stan Lee things.
Yeah. Aren't there people who, no matter what, no matter how Iron Man comes out, like, they have to like Iron Man?
Yeah, but that's not enough because there's still been this string of shit movies that nobody gave a fuck about. You know, still nobody
really
liked Elektra. It doesn't Catwoman. You know,
okay.
Like, it's not enough to
save
the movie.
All right.
Next to
that's as far as my nerd conversation can go.
So Stark's dad.
Feel free.
Stark's dad, who is now dead, was one of the smartest guys in the fucking world. It's very arguable that maybe the son is the second smartest, if not the first. I assume the guy that took over in the meantime, maybe the third. Let's say the 200th. You're double D. Here, this is a giveaway. Don't listen if you don't want this ruined. But you know from minute one, to be quite frank. That they're selling weapons to the bad guys as well. Wouldn't being the top 200 smartest people in the world, you'd say, hey, it's fucking remove the name Stark Industries from the fucking missiles. How about that? It makes it a little fucking obvious. Why don't you just put a fucking return the sender thing?
Seriously, was it like, did they like wipe off some dirt off a missile?
Yes!
Are you serious?
No, they didn't even have to. No, they didn't have to.
It would have been more cinematic had they wiped off dirt.
Right.
It's like after the missile explodes, it sends messages to everyone's text messages everyone within 50 miles. That was Stark Industries that just blew you up. But see, the reason why, I don't know, it's like it doesn't even matter about the debates. It's just whether it gets you or not. Is even when he's in his fucking cave in Afghanistan and his friend sacrifices himself to get him out, and in his dying breath, he's like, make sure your life is not for nothing. I was so into it, man. I was just like, it could have been Shawn Michaels fighting fucking old man.
Wrestling.
I could take.
Spend how many bajillions of dollars on this movie? Wrestling makes a lot of money, but they don't have the budget of this movie.
I could take people saying semi-cheesy shit. I walk around the world, people are saying semi-cheesy shit in real life all the time. It doesn't bother me. It bothers me when you're a fucking person with the power of a jet fighter and you're flying around throwing papers. Those papers are flying around because you're going so fast. You're not setting those papers on fire. None of these cars you're flying over are getting damaged, but you have jet power coming out of your fucking hands and feet.
Yeah, seriously, like a jet power, like wouldn't it make a sonic boom and all glass would just break if you flew it too close? I don't know the science exactly, but
right.
Somebody look it up on the internet.
This is also not the first time this has happened to me where I can't read the reactions of the people I'm at a movie with, where afterward I'm just like, that's fucking sweet, right? And I just get these blank stares. Like, I was telling Relic this the other day, the first time when I saw the first Fast and the Furious movie, I saw it with my friend Matt, who I never disagree with. And I was like, I can't believe how much that was good. And he's just like, are you fucking insane? What planet do you live on?
Mac McNally, look, you're a good guy. What movies do you think are shit? I just want to know. I know you're not a hater, but I know that your taste and my taste differ very greatly. Name one movie that you really hate.
Well, for instance, I mean, since we're talking superhero movies, the Ghost Rider movie, like, it made me, like, almost angry. It was so bad. So.
I mean, because for me, like, I don't hate Iron Man. I didn't see it, but I just don't care, and it's not going to affect me in any way, and I think that's a little bit less. Like, a movie that I hate has to come from a place where I'm like, are you kidding me? It's something that I actually care about. And they made a movie about it, and it's shit. Like, that's when I get upset. I don't get upset if they make some stupid-ass movie, and I don't care. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, I definitely understand where Keith's coming from, because if you just take out the word Iron Man and put in Ghost Rider, you know, nobody's giving a fuck. Then I understand exactly what he means. Just for some reason, this time, I don't know. I slipped through the crack.
I have a question about a plot point, too, as well. Was there some sort of thing about, like, a father being the smartest guy in the world and then the son being almost the smartest guy in the world?
Yes.
And then he has to, like, live in the shadow of his father? Interesting. Is this an allegory, maybe? I don't think it is, but it possibly could be about your father not being able to get Saddam Hussein and now you got him. Jesus. And we're in the Middle East. We're in Afghanistan, blah, blah, blah. Except Iron Man caused 9/11, so we don't have to get Osama bin Laden. We might as well just go after Iron Man.
But, I mean, all this shit really was, like, Stan Lee and various collaborators, and it always comes down to such a simple premise. Like, the Hulk is just your fucking teenager who can't handle yourself when you get mad. And Spider-Man, you know, you... Great power comes great responsibility. They're not complicated.
We saw Mallrats. Okay, that's where Stan Lee explains this whole theory. However, let's think about it this way. It's not the 1960s. Children are a little more sophisticated. Bruno's on the webcam broadcasting internationally. Okay, he's 14. Come up with a little more interesting plot line.
But there really is something about these movies that you couldn't, if there were no Iron Man comic book, Iron Man the movie would have been a dismal failure. But just because it's based on this pre-existing mythology, you can get away with so much shit that you never could.
You can get away with selling tickets to something that's shitty.
Right. Why
you can get away with making money off of pre-existing text.
Explain to me
why.
That's
not that good in the first place.
Why you can get upset at the way. What's that fucking Racer X? What's that?
Okay, yeah. Well,
Speed Racer. Why can you get upset about that? Go in for what it is, motherfucker. 10:50.
I'll tell you, man.
$6 for popcorn.
We saw the trailer for Speed Racer, and it just seems it's in the style of like those movies that what's the guy that did El Mariachi?
Robert Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez does this whole series of kids movies, Spy Kids and stuff. Right. It's that kind of style. It's like a kids movie, but it's dead serious. Like, every fucking line of dialogue is like through gritted molars and just like, how are we going to win this race? And it's not being true to what it's supposed to be. It just seems ridiculous to me.
One, I always have a problem with people who don't believe it's being true to something because first of all, I think the really most interesting reason to make a movie in the first place is to add something to it or to change it in some way to make it more interesting. Two, Robert Rodriguez made those Spy Kids movies because he's a smart businessman. Children's movies make like 8 times what a regular adult movie makes. So he made all of that dough. Now he's basically operating independent of the studio system on a very, very high quality level. That's the reason Sin City was made. That's the reason that they're moving forward with a lot of the productions that Robert Rodriguez is involved with. It's the reason that Planet Terror and what's the other movie? The Grindhouse movies, right, with Quentin Tarantino. That's the reason that they can do all of that independently as far as money. They knew it was schlock. They knew Spy Kids, Spy Kids 3D, all of those. They knew it was schlocky. Now, the fact that the Wachowskis, no longer the Wachowski brothers, because one of them had a sex change.
Ah, that's funny.
Are making the Speed Racer movie in a very weird way. And I don't understand why. First of all, they're, like, extremely secretive, and not only that, like, one of them had this sex change, and they're not going to address it in anything, in any form, in any way, and now children are going to go see the Speed Racer movie. There's no CGI monkey. There's a regular monkey. Right. What kind of movie is this?
You know, speaking of...
what kind of movie is this?
Speaking of trailers, I'm just curious, Keith, what did you think of the Indiana Jones trailer? It just passed me by. It seemed really boring to me.
It went by fast to me, too.
I saw a commercial for it last night. It seems very glossy. What I loved about the old Indiana Jones movies is it's real dirty. And I love the old Indiana Jones movies. So, like, I'm not going to hate on something just because it's popular or just because it's a blockbuster movie. There are plenty of those that are great movies. But you watch those old Indiana Jones movies, even the last one, like the most recent one before this one. And there's something about the grit of that. There's something about adding the history into the storyline. That's really interesting about that. And, you know, just the fact that, like, all of that's going on, and on top of that, like, it's badass. You know what I mean? You watch this new one, I see that dude from Transformers who I don't like. I see, it looks like it was shot on, and not to, like, rag on HD or new formats, but it looks too crisp. It looks, to me, the feel of Indiana Jones is not there. There's no dirty Nazis. You know what I mean?
I can't help but look at Indiana Jones like he's fucking retarded and he's too old, and I'm waiting for him to go into a seizure.
I think as long as he says I'm too old for this shit, I'm good.
Because you know, they explained it.
Right. Well, come on. It makes it logical.
Speaking of these being too glossy, I mean, we all know I'm biased, but anybody else think that Grand Theft Auto 4 is a little too clean? There's not enough papers blowing in the wind
shit,
in that game.
Here we go.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
Play yet.
I don't know.
Well, I heard you can go on this street sweeping mission. By the way, speaking of people...
He was just explaining how you can't put your seatbelt on, and he's upset about it earlier.
I've flown through the fucking window like 8 times, man. Put your seatbelt on, Nico, you asshole.
I told you. We don't have the fucking seatbelt back in the old country. That's for pussies. Oh, I'm through the windshield again.
Use a rope. I gotta say, like, there's gotta be a seatbelt code. Is there no seatbelt code? There's gotta be.
By the way, I was going to say this, speaking of places that are fucking you, I don't know. We're hanging out at a bar, and we're going to the theater, and we pass a place called Artichoke, and it's on like 1st or 2nd Avenue on 14th Street, something like that. And there's a line for it, and you look in, and it says pizza and draft beer. But it's one of those real small, like kind of like the Middle Eastern shops. It's real small. And what?
Like the falafel stands?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, but I just love it. They're like, there's so many small shops in New York. You're like, it's one of those Middle Eastern shops.
Do you not speak Keith? Falafel.
No, I do. I do speak Keith. And yes, falafel came to mind. And yes, mamoons came to mind. But that's fine.
So feel free to say it. Feel free to change your underwear when it gets wet. I don't know why everybody's walking around not living the life they should. So we go past this place. And I guess everybody's buying pizza. There's a line outside that's insane. And so I eventually end up stopping. I asked the line. I'm like, yeah, I got to ask. Is there a big special today? Is it some Food Network guy first day? Like, what is it? This pizza is fucking good. Some girl is on a lady is on her cell phone, and she takes it. Like, New Yorkers don't have time for anybody. She takes the time to put the phone down away from her mouth and goes, this is the shit. Fuck it. And she just looked like a mom. She just, I don't know, she had that face. You know what I mean? Not her age. She had that face.
Oh, I understand. But like, she's had to look at, right, at dirty diapers.
Right. And she's like, this is the shit. It's the best in the scene. Somebody else goes, yeah, fucking pizza. I'm like, yeah, fucking pizza. All right. So we go out, we see the movie, we come back, and I pass it again, and there's maybe 5 to 10 people at most. I'm like, well, definitely. I got to see what this place is.
Sure.
And somebody else said artichoke pizza. Like, that's going to throw me over the edge. Like, then why didn't Papa John's do it? Oh, you got the artichoke
pizza. Right.
The artichoke. So I go in, and there's only regular looking plain pizza and Sicilian looking, you know, pretty plain pizza. It's got the little basil on it, but and a lot of sauce, little cheese, and that's it. Looks like two regular pizzas. I'm like, holy shit, this has to be all you sell is one kind of pizza, right? And I'm like, maybe it's that fucking good. Somebody orders before me. It's $2.50, and I'm like, okay, I see the attraction, and I'm like, so. This pizza right here.
He sees the attraction that is $2.50. The pizza by our place is $2.25 without toppings. He just never goes outside.
I understand. No, but I figured the pizza right by that college at Union Square is $4 for a pepperoni slice. They really rate the NYU kids.
You know why? Because that pizzeria used to be right next to Palladium, and you go outside and you haven't eaten for a while, and go fuck yourself. You're buying $4.
Right, but
now it's still like it's just
yeah,
a dorm
it's right
now.
By the dorm, which right. is the same shit.
But if you see a big line that somehow got attention because it used a rare vegetable,
sure,
I expected more than $2.50. So it's $2.50, and I see these two pies, and I go, this is, and I kind of like
oh,
it.
Oh, you were
I like,
saying that's cheap. You're right.
I'm saying it's cheap.
Oh, okay.
Are you saying it's a lot? No, I understand.
Oh, okay.
So
I just like to shit on you.
No, I understand that. Now who wants a drink?
Can you guys keep that for the bedroom? I don't want to hear about the shitting on you.
Oh, come on. So, you help.
So I say, I'll take...
Thanks for making me uncomfortable
you're
back.
You're welcome. Aww.
I just ignore it. So is this is the only pizza you sell then? For now.
Okay, this is going to be a problem already.
For now. And I'm like, oh, so, you know, this is the artichoke pizza, and then you have other pizzas with different toppings? You know, different things. What are you is this really how you get people in line? Like, why were... And I go, okay, I passed here not a few hours ago, and there was a long line. Why was there a line? Pizza off the hook. Is it this pizza? This pizza is real good. Is this have to do with the name artichoke? No, I don't have the sauce. I don't feel like making it. Okay, so fuck me. What am I looking at? The only pizza we have. Fuck, what are you doing?
You know what this is sort of like? This is sort of like when, like, if you aren't into, like, a really hot girl, like, mm-hmm. when you meet her and you just kind of, like, treat her like, you're like, whatever. You know, I'm not right. that interested in you. And she's like, what's wrong with him? How come he doesn't like me? Right. It's that same, like... That's how they're getting you. How come you guys aren't treating me nice when I come in here?
So is this?
I have to find out. Get me some pizza.
I think they're trying to be the soup Nazi.
There's like
possibly.
There's like four guys that you would see at any Italian pizzeria, just hanging out, leaning on the counter. Here's the pizza we have now. I don't know why there has to be four people for. It's very late. Is after midnight? I'm sure. And they like here's the fucking like we're all hanging out. So I to what? To laugh at me? Hey, you be the guy that doesn't answer nothing today, and I'm all gonna fucking laugh at you. Is this the pizza you sell for now? So it takes a long time until I realize it's a regular plain pizza. And I did get it, and it did taste very fresh. There's nothing fucking mind-blowing about it.
So wait, so the artichoke is in the sauce.
There's an artichoke in the sauce, I guess, that he ran out of and doesn't feel like making it. Not even we're out. I look at you and your friends, and you don't seem worth it.
Wow. It is like you're treating a pretty girl like shit.
Yeah.
One thing I love about this story is that I think I must, like, lack a sense of adventure a bit because there's, like, so many parts of this that never would have happened to me. I wouldn't have noticed there was a big line, first off. I wouldn't have stopped
How?
To think that, well, who fucking cares? A big line for a pizza place. I would just walk by.
Really?
I would definitely not think to stop and ask somebody. And then hours later, I would certainly not be like, you guys up for artichoke? I forgot about that shit. What? But Keith makes his own fun. I like that.
Well, I mean, it's not hard if you just don't look at your shoes when you walk around New York.
Who cares? Seriously, there's a line up to a pizza place. Who would ever care?
Really?
Who would care? Exactly. Who would care? I get taken. Nothing attracts a line like a line. Or whatever the fuck
that's
that
true.
Is.
True. I have never been in a line in New York City and not had someone ask me what it was for.
Sure.
Never. I've never been in a line for something.
I wouldn't stand in line for things because I'll lose my shit.
No.
If I was around, Keith would be like, just forget it. We'll go when Chem does not here. Don't bring this girl on a line.
Well, I wouldn't stand in line for a bar or a fucking restaurant, but I'm talking about
No, he won't do that.
I'm talking about like if I have a ticket to something. You know, if I'm going to a concert and I'm waiting to go to the concert, you got to be there earlier to get in the concert, especially if it's general admission. People walk by who's in line. It was McNally and a couple other people and I all went to see Saul Williams a couple weeks ago. I guess it's quite a few weeks ago now. But we went to go see Saul Williams. We're waiting in line. Of course people walk by and ask what the line was for. Of course they did.
What was it? You're a horrible line keeper? I am horrible at lines. Oh, I once saw a line. I think it was outside of church. Keith was with me. And I can't help it. I go, what's this
line?
Line
for church?
I don't know. It was like weird.
Well, maybe it's a special. But like, then say like, the bishop of our bullshit is coming in today. Like, people can't even say what their line is. They feel like we're at a museum. Remember this story? This is some years ago.
I didn't finish mine. But...
I'm sorry. We pass a museum. We pass a museum. And I go, what's this line for? A museum. You wouldn't understand.
That's my favorite. My favorite is, my better than that is, what's this line for? Oh, you don't know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I looked up everything going on in New York before I left the house, and oh, yeah, this is the line for this. You know what? From now on, when I'm standing on the line, what's this line for? A Keith and the Girl concert.
You know what? You know what's one thing me and Relic were talking about the other day is now that we've been in New York for a while.
Relic doesn't talk.
And we know you guys better, is that... Like, sometimes the stories on the show, like, I wasn't there for the line story Keith just told of, like, you wouldn't understand. You assume maybe it's, like, a little exaggerated so Keith could make it a better story, but sometimes it's not. I kind of thought they all were, but sometimes it's not.
I mean, come on. He does have the fodder of New York City. I mean, I gotta say.
You know what? McNally, people are thinking that you're exaggerating about how what an asshole I am driving. I don't think it's exaggerated.
You know, the best reaction to, you don't know, if you ask somebody what's on. No, actually, I do know. I wanted to hear what you were going to say. I wanted to hear how you would describe this show.
Oh, you didn't actually go do know. You didn't go last week?
I actually am performing in the show. Could you describe it back to me so I can use it in my
actually,
byline?
I think now the best thing is, oh, you don't know. I just hand them a card that says we're going to be talking about you. Fuck you.
Go fuck yourself.
Thanks, well, Jeremy.
So I apologize. What? You're out of line for a church?
I don't know. I was just kidding.
I knew it and I asked anyway. I knew it and I asked anyway.
My story was like a half story just to get you mad.
So I guess my question is, by walking past lines my whole life and never giving a fuck what they were for, how many personal adventures have I missed out on?
You only missed having a podcast. We don't care. Nah. Half the time I do shit just to be like, well, I need to know what this is about so I can go home, tell Keith, and decide if we're talking about it on the show.
I don't know. I think that, McNally, you played Grand Theft Auto 4, right? Your life would have been like that.
Yeah. I think half the chicks I banged came from standing in a line.
Why not? They got somebody's going to be before you? Whatever. I don't need to be the first nor the last.
I don't think it's as freaky as I made it sound, but I think it resulted in me getting laid. But you know what? You know how I'm going to teach this artichoke place a fucking lesson? I'll stay in line during the day tomorrow and get fucking artichoke pizza. Fuck me.
I usually ask the first question to see if there are 10 more questions that I could ask. If there's not a lead-in, I'm like, all right, goodbye.
People love people in their fucking lines.
Or as our UK fans would love to put it.
A queue.
We like to queue up. Our friends in the UK love
to
queue up.
That's the worst. I feel like if it was called a queue here, I'd hate lines more because I feel like you're putting me in a slot and now I can't move and I have claustrophobia and go fuck yourself.
It's like your fast
food. Whatever
you're
selling over there, I will get it on the internet.
I got to say, the other thing, though, that does drive me nuts, though, is when people say, and it's just me because I have a personal problem and I understand that, but it's that when people say, oh, I'm standing online. Yeah. No, you're not. You're standing in line.
Oh, yeah, you can go.
Online is where you go on the internet.
Whatever. You can fuck yourself with that, because I say close the light, and you can...
There's a comedian, Todd Glass, that does this great thing, talking about George Carlin, and he goes, I'm George Carlin. Hey, everybody, get on the plane. Get on the plane? Fuck you! I'm getting in the plane! All right, we get it, George. We fucking get it.
No, that's a little different. That's a little different.
You know what? If I'm standing right by a line and I go to Keith, yeah, I'm going to go online, he goes, don't you mean in line? And now I'm not standing anywhere, so you can go get your pizza and you can go get your movie and I'll meet you at home. And
I wouldn't
correct
you if you were going to go do it for me.
The only time those weird turns of phrase... throw me off is there's something you can do in Windows where it says waiting on the drive or whatever, and that is such a hick southern thing. I'm waiting on that drive. And it seems so weird to me that my operating system says that. That's the only one that throws me.
Is this the same operating system that makes Tony Stark fly? Because use good grammar then.
Oh my God, I can't even remember. There was a phrase yesterday that Spooky used that only southern people, it was, and it involved the word wouldn't. Wouldn't you not know? Or wouldn't you do? Like, that is the weirdest word ever. Wouldn't? Yes, wouldn't. But not wouldn't. You know, wouldn't. I wasn't done with that. What?
Like it's almost like W-O-O-D-E-N.
Yeah, like a whole other word. And I know you Southerners are going to love me for bringing it up.
Those fucking Southerners have some of the gayest expressions I've ever heard. Like, man, I'm sadder than a gopher in a woodchuck's mouth or some shit.
Or you know what? Southerners talk so weird, eh?
I know. Yeah, but there is something to that though. Like there was a professor in advertising at when I was in school, and he would always use this phrase. Whatever you can try doing that, but that's harder than putting a gnat's ass over a barrel. What? First of all, when was the last time you saw a gnat?
I think the worst thing is to try to envision those. I just go, that's you. I just hear the first part. That's worse than oh, okay, it's bad. Thank you. I don't need to hear what you're about to make me.
You're not interested in the figure of speech or the trope of construction.
I'm done. That's as bad as, all right, bad, I'll move on.
When's your birthday, McNally?
October?
September 18th.
September 18th. I'm getting you the best of Jeff Foxworthy.
Nice.
All right, thank you guys so much for listening. Matt, thanks for being here.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for riding with my girlfriend.
Of course, anytime.
Yeah, I was saying to him, I don't know if it was today or yesterday after the run, but that you'd be so proud somebody was really, really taking care of your girlfriend. Like, if he was watching, like, the whole time, he'd be like, okay, thank you. And he was like, yeah, I had six riders riding around you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, just don't worry, Keith. It wasn't for you that I was taking care of her.
I got her back, and I got sandwiches that night.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't saying like that. I was saying I wanted to take care of her. She's a friend of mine.
Truthfilms.com for Matt stuff.
Thank you, guys.
And oh, shit. Don't forget, new Keith and the Girl TV is up. Derby.
Yeah, Derby's up. Don't forget, last week's is up, of course. They're all still up from number one. Last week was the arm wrestling match with Deuce, Hadar.
McNally's the one that puts it all together for us.
This time you can watch McNally struggle to make a move and watch him not take care of a girl when she gets stuck in a car.
And see if you can guess all the white trash music I put in that I love each and every song that's in that.
The Limp Bizkit one's kind of obvious in the Derby.
Boo.
KeithCourage.com. It's Keith Courage, right? KeithCourage.com. He's got a lot of free stuff on there, some videos and some music and a whole bunch of shit. Music that he made for himself and music that you can find in our live video that he created. And not for the live video. He just, like, took out archives of stuff that he used to create, and it went so amazingly well. You can download the whole thing from KeithCourage.com.
Oh, and like we said the other day also, Adam getting into a fight hanging out. That's on YouTube. YouTube.com/KeithAndTheGirl. And you can see all the old videos, all the stuff McNally used to do, and as well as the latest thing of Adam ready to punch it in the face.
Thank you, Relic, for using our room as a banning technique for yourself.
Also, to see Matt talk more about biking, you can download the entire episode of number 300 at keithandthegirl.com/live when he talks about having his bike stolen.
That was fun. I was working at the shop that set up the whole thing for you guys, too, so it's an interesting story through that as well.
And you can also see it at keithandthegirl.com/store. That's part of the big video of all the live shows we did, Keith and the Girl, all over the place. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you tomorrow. keithandthegirl.com